welcome to episode 337 of The Lab. I'm Brad Barton.
I'm Phil Barton.
This is one in our continuing series on robotics and automation in space and space travel. If you'd like to hear the other episodes, you can find them by visiting thelabwithbrad.com.
Well, here we are.
Yes. Saturn's got more weird stuff for us.
Cool.
Saturn's winking at us.
What?
She's winking at us.
Okay.
I know it's named after some sort of male deity, Titan, or whatever.
Yeah.
But she seems like a female to me. She's a gold color. Yeah. When you get close up, there's stripes.
And you got Jupiter to compare it to.
Yeah, so that's... Jupiter's an adolescent boy, right? Oh. It just has to be the biggest. It's nasty, right. Magnetic field. Big fat set.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm buying female. Absolutely.
Back in 1671,
okay.
Giovanni Domenico Cassini was looking through his telescope, and he saw a moon.
Okay.
It was on the western side of Saturn.
Cool.
Months later, he goes to look for it again, when it should have swung around.
Swung. Yes.
To the eastern side of Saturn.
Indeed.
But he couldn't find it.
Okay. Well, how fast? I mean... How does he know?
I guess he watched. Okay. Gee, it's closer. It should be around right about, it's not there.
So, did it disappear? I mean...
Months later.
Wow.
He got it again on the west side.
What the heck?
Is going on?
Yeah.
She's winking at us.
You're kidding. Okay.
It wasn't until, let's see here. He found it eventually on the east side in 1705.
Oh, okay.
When he finally got a bigger telescope.
What's really going on here?
It is the moon Iapetus.
Okay.
Iapetus.
Ooh. Iapetus.
Yes. It's kind of a neat one.
Iapetus.
Two-faced moon.
Oh, okay.
Its albedo, which is sort of a percentage of the light reflected back that hits it, on the bright side... is 0.5.
Okay.
Its albedo on the dark side is 0.05.
Oh, okay.
Yes, 1/10 of its albedo on the shiny side.
So, yeah, hence the bigger telescope.
There are a lot of moons in various systems. Even Jupiter has some slight different color changes because it's hitting stuff. Okay. The trailing edge of Iapetus is the bright one.
Okay.
The preceding, leading, let's call it the leaning hemisphere is the one that's gotten all dark.
Okay.
But it is a much higher contrast than you're getting in other moons. Cassini came along and got a closer look.
Okay.
And it's not just sort of cut down the middle, right, where one side is with like a straight line. It looks kind of like a three-dimensional yin-yang.
Oh, neat.
Where the, including the poles being bright.
Uh-huh.
So... Yeah, there's your yin-yang moon.
I've been in the stars forever. Nice.
It is the third largest moon of Saturn, 11th largest moon overall.
Oh, cool.
It takes 79 1/3 days to get around Saturn.
Okay.
It's a good deal further out than the other large, roundy satellites.
Okay.
Also, strangely, its orbit is tilted.
Uh-huh.
By more than 15 degrees to Saturn's equator.
Oh, okay.
It is the only one of the large moons that gets a decent view of the rings.
Oh.
The rest of them see them edge on all the time. Now, there are plenty of other moons that have much more eccentric and tilted orbits, so they probably get good views too. But I'm talking about the big boys here.
Yeah, yeah. The ones I would have a chance with a homegrown telescope to see.
Oh,
if I
if Cassini could do it in 1704.
Right?
I'm sure there's something in the Sears catalog.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the question.
Okay.
Why is one side darker than the other?
Well, why is one side
darker? It's not just darker, by the way, when Cassini got true color pictures.
Uh-huh.
The dark side is sort of brownish red.
Okay.
So why is, is it embarrassed? Boy, is my face red.
Is this a collision type thing? I mean,
as a matter of fact, Iapetus isn't the only thing that occasionally goes invisible.
Oh, okay.
There are other invisible things, including some rings, which we talked about on Monday. How'd you like to talk about some hardware?
Let's do it.
Okay.
Any other hardware?
I want to talk about the Spitzer Telescope.
Cool.
The Spitzer Space Telescope.
Ah, important.
Launched in 2003.
Okay.
Cassini was still on the way to Saturn.
Okay.
He didn't get to Saturn until 2004.
No love for them yet.
Yeah, they almost got there. It's put into an orbit around the sun rather than the Earth.
Cool.
It is slightly further out and thus slightly slower than Earth.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. It loses about 1/10 of the distance between Earth and the sun around the circle every year. Did that make sense?
So it's falling towards us?
The distance between the sun and the Earth.
Okay.
Right, is about 8 light minutes.
Okay.
Plus or minus confusion.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This is in a circle.
Okay.
It's a slightly bigger circle than us, so it's going a little slower.
Right, right.
1/10 of that distance, mm-hmm. the astronomical unit, mm-hmm. as it's known, it falls behind us every year.
Oh.
We've probably looped around before.
Lapped them, as it were.
Right.
It's a race.
I brought this up before we were on the porch, and you were like, well, what about the Hubble?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, right.
Right. Well, the Spitzer is an infrared telescope.
It's fancy.
Yes. And it's harder to do than you might think.
Okay.
Because the more you want to look at infrared, depending upon which frequencies you're looking at, you have this issue where if you're too warm, you are just so noisy.
Okay.
You're flippin' glowing, right?
Yeah.
So they had to cool the thing down.
The Spitzer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
This is a 85-centimeter mirror, mm-hmm. or 33 inches.
Mm-hmm.
The main mirror. The main mirror. It's made out of beryllium.
Okay.
And they use liquid helium to cool it to 5.5 degrees Kelvin.
Oh.
Minus 268 degrees Celsius.
Okay.
Minus 450. Minus 450 weight degrees Fahrenheit.
That's a new measurement.
4.8 fills.
So, I mean, how noisy can it? Space is cold.
Right.
It needs to be colder?
It needs to be colder than what it's looking at.
Ah, okay.
So to speak. Yeah. And if it's just sitting there getting hit by the sun all day,
mm-hmm.
which it also needs, it's got solar panels.
Oh, right.
Then it's going to be too warm.
Gotcha.
It's also the reason not to hang around the Earth. It's too warm.
Okay. Just stick it way out there in liquid helium.
Mm-hmm. Of course, they only brought along so much.
Okay.
Ran out in 2009.
What do you do?
Well, there were like 2 or 3 instruments that could still work.
Okay.
So they continued the mission and did what they called the warm mission.
Ah!
And that lasted all the way until the beginning of 2020 in January when they turned it off.
Oh.
As far as I know, it's still out there.
Yeah.
But it's asleep now.
We're going to forget about it. We're going to ram into it with some freighter. Yeah.
So, just before it ran out of coolant,
mm-hmm.
it detected Saturn's largest ring.
Oh, cool.
Largest, but damn near invisible.
Hence the detection. Yeah,
Cassini was in the Saturn system.
Okay.
And it didn't notice the damn thing.
Okay.
It's the Phoebe ring.
Phoebe? Yes. Really?
Well, okay, Phoebe. How would you pronounce that?
Right, Phoebe.
I'm down with Phoebe. Phoebe.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's a moon called Phoebe
mm-hmm.
that has been hit by stuff enough to kick up some dust and whatnot.
What? Yeah.
And make one of those tenuous rings. This is more like a ring around Jupiter.
Okay.
Although Jupiter's... Nobody else has such a big ring. Biggest ring in the solar system.
Nice. Go Saturn.
Like if you take the radius of Saturn.
Okay.
About 37,000 miles. Or 60,330 kilometers.
Mm-hmm.
But that's our measurement.
Okay.
From the center of Saturn to its quote-unquote surface.
Okay.
The previous champion was the E-ring.
Right.
Which they thought was the furthest out.
Oh, okay.
It goes from about 3 radiuses to about 8 radii.
Okay.
I'm not sure which one's correct, so I'm going to use them both.
Oh, sounds good.
All right. The Phoebe ring goes from 128 to 207 Saturn radiuses.
Wow.
So that makes it 79 Saturn radius is across, mm-hmm. as compared to the runner-up, which is only 5.
Son of a buck.
And also, unlike all the other rings that are nice and thin compared to their size, mm-hmm. this thing is like 20 Saturns thick.
You're kidding me. Wow. All right.
It's really wispy.
Yeah, my main question is, if it's this damn big, how come we didn't see it before?
That's a good question. Well, I'm glad you asked. It never works this way. Okay, it's wispy.
Yes.
The fact that I heard is there's about 20 grains of dust for every cubic kilometer.
Jeez, okay.
The moon it gets the stuff from, mm-hmm. it's an irregular satellite. It's tilted to the equator of Saturn.
Oh, weird.
Okay. It's eccentric, mm-hmm. And it's darker than all the regular moons.
What is going on?
They figure it's something we captured from the Kuiper belt, or Saturn captured from the, the royal we, me and Saturn.
Yeah. Okay. Did we change planets all of a sudden?
So the Phoebe ring, which I'm pretty sure comes from the Phoebe moon, is an angle of 27 degrees compared to all the other ones.
Oh, weird. So it's not in the same spinniness?
Parallel? Orbital plane?
Yeah, okay.
There's a fancy word for it.
The most accurate term that's been used so far.
Also, as a captured object, uh-huh. Phoebe is going the opposite direction that Saturn is spinning. And they think the ring might be doing that, too.
This is, okay. What an obscure, okay, cool.
I know the biggest one of all, and it's flipping invisible. So that's the Phoebe ring.
Okay.
And Phoebe in all its craziness. Mm-hmm. Phoebe seems to be a captured Kuiper belt object.
Okay.
Which I mentioned a little on Monday, but I didn't talk much about it.
Good old Kuiper belt. Mm.
And like we said, it's spinning around in the opposite direction to the way that Saturn rotates.
Yeah, yeah.
Unlike, say, Iapetus.
Hey, okay.
And Iapetus is in the neighborhood of the Phoebe ring.
Ooh, okay.
So they think the dark material started, at least, by being collected from the Phoebe ring.
Oh.
Which is in addition, to just hitting it all, it's going in the opposite direction. Mm-hmm. So it's going to pile up like nobody's business.
Okay.
And then with its long year, mm-hmm. 79 plus days, it has long days and long nights.
Okay.
Which once you have a darker side, it will absorb more sunlight and get hot enough to sublimate ice.
Oh, okay.
And then with its gravity of a whole whopping 0.02 G's, okay. That ice vapor can migrate to the other cooler side and collect there. Mm. So they think it probably started with material from something like Phoebe's ring, mm-hmm. and then there was this thermal runaway positive feedback mechanism here.
Yeah, okay.
But that's not the only weird thing. Running down the middle of the dark side is a ridge. Mm-hmm. That almost perfectly follows the equator.
Okay.
And it's not subtle. From a distance, it makes the moon look a little bit like a walnut.
Interesting. Okay.
It was discovered by Cassini on the last day of 2004. Mm-hmm. It's about 1,300 kilometers long.
Okay.
Which is 808 miles or so.
Jeez. Okay.
It's going anywhere from 3/4 to 2/3 of the way around the moon.
Okay.
But seems to be confined to the dark splotch.
Huh. Okay.
It is average of 13 kilometers or 8 miles high. Its tallest bits are 12 miles or 20 kilometers tall.
Okay.
So, yeah, where did that come from?
Yeah.
Big question, a bunch of different theories. Mm-hmm. None of them quite explain why it wouldn't be all the way around the equator.
I mean, you say it's mostly on the dark side?
Mm-hmm.
So I want to blame... I mean,
well, entirely on the dark side. There are some big peaks on the other side that sort of follow the equator, but they don't line up to make pretty ridgeness thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's technical talk right there.
Sounds perfect.
Pretty ridgeness thing.
I want to somehow blame Oh, I forgot the name of that stupid...
The Phoebe Ring?
The Phoebe Ring.
I want to blame the Phoebe Ring, too.
Yeah.
And that is one of the theories.
Yeah.
There are actually a couple of very small moons around Saturn that also have equatorial ridges.
Really?
Yes. Pan and Atlas.
This is just a Saturn thing.
But they are much closer in to Saturn, orbiting at like 13 hours and 14 hours, respectively.
Jeez.
And the largest one, Atlas, its largest dimension is only about 25 miles through.
Okay, moon.
Yes, and now we've got the equatorial ridge, and it's all the way around the darn thing.
Okay.
And it's so huge compared to its overall size that it makes them look like, well, I've heard them compared to flying saucers.
Hey.
Or possibly ravioli.
I am suddenly hungry. Yeah.
But yeah, they go all the way around, and it's pretty clear that they're picking that stuff up from like the A-ring that okay. they're nestled right up against.
Huh.
So why only the one sign?
Maybe there is a ridge. You said the ice is moving to make the bright sign.
Maybe it got buried?
Yeah.
Or, maybe when it was it sublimates, right?
Yeah.
It goes over, you'd expect it to collect on the top before the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that built up some weight on a ridge that was there and caused it to collapse.
Okay.
And then the remnants got covered up by more ice.
Hey!
Now, there's a theory.
We the two solved of us it.
Just got up.
Oh, man.
But Saturn and her moons have plenty more oddities to share with us.
Hey.
But we're going to talk about that
mm-hmm.
next time. See you then.
Bye.